There's something that happens when we agree together as a body, together as a family. When we agree, there's power in that. You know, there's no power in disunity. Well, there's power in disunity, but it's only power for destruction. We talked about that last week. But the unity, the things that God loves, there's so much that He loves about unity. In fact, the Bible says that wherever there's unity, there He commands His blessings. And the one thing that we're unified about in Victory Outreach is we're unified in our vision. We've got a phenomenal vision. I mean, in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2 and 3, turn with me there and it'll be on your screen here. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3 reads like this. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make desolate cities inhabited. Now, in the New Living Translation, it reads, enlarge your house. Enlarge your mind. Enlarge your thinking. You know, build an addition. Some of you got to build an addition to your brain and your heart. You got to expand your brain and your heart and your thinking. He says, spread out your home and spare no expense. Come on, somebody shout out, spare nothing. For you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. You know what that means? That some of your daughters and sons are going to inhabit other cities around the nations. Can you imagine that some of your kids and your grandkids, our grandkids and our sons, are going to be in desolate cities around the world? Now, if I was to tell you that your son or daughter, for instance, at least I saw Andrew here. He's probably at New Gen now, whatever. But if I was to prophesy and say, I saw in the spirit that he was going to be in Argentina one day, wouldn't you want to start investing in Argentina now, knowing that Andrew's going to live in Argentina for the rest of his life? Right? Okay. And I'm just picking on her, but I'm talking to all of you when I say that. I just happened to see Andrew earlier, and I thought to myself, wouldn't you want to invest in that already ahead of time? See, that's what United We Can is all about. And when I talk about the vision of our ministry for 50 years, I can't even imagine the overwhelming presence of God that came over Pastor Sonny when God told him, I want to build a global ministry in this ministry. And him to look out there in East LA and to look out the crowd that he had and says, with this group? Really, God? But it was obedient, and he still spoke it. And then he would say, afterwards, you hear him testify, he would say, what did I just do? Oh, my God. And Sister Julie would say stuff like, you were talking big, Pastor Sonny. You were talking big, man. That was some big talk there. But for 50 years, now I think of it now. I was just with him a couple weeks ago. And I was with him sitting there, and he's talking about the movement and the world conference and everything. And I just look at him, and I think to myself, God, 50 years of ministry has passed by so fast, but it hasn't went with no sacrifice. And there's been so much sacrifice and so much that has went into growing this ministry globally, from a very small beginning there in East LA to a global ministry around the world. You see, because God is always expanding. God is always challenging us to grow and expand. He's always moving ahead. He's always stretching us. That's why I said, get ready to stretch. Tell your neighbor, give me some room. I'm about to stretch. Now, because of time, I'm not going to get into the book of Genesis, but in the 41st chapter of Genesis, and for those of you that, you know, need to, like, have all the word, you can read a few verses if you like. But I've been studying on Genesis and Joseph most of my adult life. I have studied this back and forth pretty much. I don't know it verbatim, but I know the story pretty well. And young Joseph obviously opened his mouth too soon in front of his brothers and to his dad about his dreams. And sometimes you got to be careful about your dreams, not to speak them out too loud. You see that an athlete sometimes, and they say, yeah, we're going to win the championship this year. We're going to do this. And then they drop out in the first round of the playoffs or whatever. Talks big. Doing is what you need to do. And Joseph, you know, we know from the scriptures that in Genesis that he spoke too soon, and his brothers wanted to kill him, and they ended up selling him into slavery. They put him in a well, a deep well, and then they ended up selling him into slavery. And he was sold into a house where he became a slave in the house of Potiphar and was raised up. He was tempted there. He was attacked there. He was terrified by Potiphar's wife. The story goes on and on and on. And then eventually he got raised up because of his honesty. And then, boom, he gets terrified. He gets this false accusation, has to go to prison. And while in prison, he begins to use the gifts that God has given him to interpret dreams, and he sees visions. And so he uses them, and it helps him to get notoriety. He becomes a steward of the prison. Now he's in charge of all everything there in the prison, inside the prison. And eventually what happens is that one of the guys that he helps out, one of them gets killed, the other one raised back up, but he forgot Joseph. And in chapter 41, in the book of Genesis, chapter 41, we see where the Pharaoh, he had a dream about. This is where I want you to turn, to chapter 41 of Genesis real quick. And I do want to read this because it's ironic that, we've been talking about the seven, right? And here in the Bible says in Genesis chapter 41, this verse, we're going to read that down about maybe 10 verses. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came out of the river 7 cows. Everybody say 7. Fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Those are grass-fed organic cows. Then behold, 7 other cows came up from after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain, everybody say 7, grain came up, 1 stalk and plump and good. And behold, the 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning, this is verse 8, that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and he called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men. And the Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Verse 9 says, Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh and saying, I remember my faults this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. Both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream one night, and each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man. Somebody say, hello, Joseph. And he told us about the dreams, and so he had him called Joseph. Joseph came out and told him, listen, I don't got all your answers, but God will show you. So he dreamed again, and then Joseph came and said, listen, what's going to happen is that there's going to be a famine for the next 7 years. There's going to be plenty. The crops are going to be more than ever for 7 years. And then after that, another 7 years. For 7 years, there's going to be a tremendous drought and tremendous famine that is going to happen in the land. And so what God wants you to do is he wants you to find somebody to take over all of this, and he wants you to store up as much as you can so that during the famine, not only will you and your kingdom not, but you'll be able to take care of everybody else. So the 7 is very significant here. We've been under a 7 times greater anointing since before April. We believe that there's a 7 times greater harvest coming in your family, in the church, in the cities. And here in this portion of Scripture, the Lord uses the number 7 once again. And he says he uses it this time as an analogy of what's going to happen in the next 7 years. He talks about cows. He talks about wheat. Both cows and wheat are a sign of wealth. They're a sign of prosperity. If you have a lot of wheat, you're very rich. If you have a lot of animals and cows, then you're very rich. If you don't, then you don't have anything. You're poor. And so it signifies the blessings of God. And what the Lord says here, what he's telling us is that we have to make sure that we do right with what God has given us in the seven times greater anointing, so that the 7 times greater harvest will come afterwards. Are you understand what I'm saying? And so here Pharaoh has this dream. Joseph interprets it. In the dream, God said there's going to be 7 plentiful years followed by 7 years of famine. And then we see that how the butler had forgotten about Joseph. How many know when you're doing good, sometimes you forget about those that helped you along the way? Come on, somebody. You say, well, not everybody's supposed to be in my future. I don't want them. There's going to be. Listen, you don't forget those that have helped you ever, ever, ever. Amen? And during the season, the Lord stretched Joseph. He allowed him to go into Potiphar's house. He let him to go, all these dreams that he had, he allowed him to go to prison. But one day, everybody say one day, One day while he's in prison, they got a call and say, hey, you got a visit. So what's up? He goes, they want you in the kingdom, in the palace. So I'm in trouble again. They pull him in there and they tell him about the dream. And he says, hey, God's going to give you the interpretation. Now, if we look at the outcome, Joseph tells him what's going on. And ironically, it's like God, he says, you got to find somebody to do this. And the Pharaoh says, no, I want you to do it. The Bible says he takes off his signet ring. He gives him a coat. He gives him everything. See, remember his coat was ripped off of him? Remember that? His brothers ripped off his coat because they were jealous of him. Now he's getting promoted even though he thought he was dead. Come on, somebody. You better watch out because God's getting ready to promote you. You think it's over, but God says, I'm just beginning. Amen? And it led. What's amazing is that his promotion and favor from his wisdom and relationship came from a relationship with God. All that time he was serving the Lord, all that time he was focused on what God wanted for him, he was probably learning and saying, I should have never said nothing to my brothers. And he learned from his mistakes. Come on, somebody. I hope you learn from your mistakes. And then we see how it led to his deliverance. It led to his deliverance from prison. It led to the deliverance of his father's legacy. It led to all his brothers, man, were spared because God used him in Egypt, in the world, in the deepest part of the world, in Egypt. They were far away. And then ultimately, it saved all of Israel. Come on, somebody. Now, what do we get from this story? First of all, God always has a plan. God always has a plan. Come on, somebody. Say, God has a plan for my life. He had a plan to deliver Israel, and he happened to use this whole situation. He uses Joseph's life, and Joseph has to go through all this stuff, and he uses him because God had a plan. Even during the time of famine, God says, I'm going to spare you. I'm going to take care of you. He gave Joseph the plan. Pharaoh followed it. Prospered it. Egypt was protected from destruction, but not just Egypt, but also the whole house of his father was spared, and all of Israel was spared. Why? The future was secure because of an act of obedience. Come on, somebody. Now, in 1993, at the Pomona State Fairgrounds, that little piece of video you saw there with them buildings with the little squares there, I was Pastor Sonny in 1993 right there in Pomona at the World Conference. It was my second World Conference. Sitting in the second row listening to Pastor Sonny and my pastor speak on the world vision about how God wants to reach the world, but we can't do it because of finances. And it was then that day that there was a vision conceived of United We Can, that God was going to use the ministry, the finances of $1 a day, a simple dollar a day, and we all started like that. I was like a 305th person or something like that. Now I don't know, they changed my number, but that's all right. Amen. They gave me like a higher number, but I was 305 at one time. I was kind of upset about that, but nobody listened, so I just said, okay, I'm gonna quit crying and just move on. But crazy how we all started doing that, and all of a sudden the ministry started supernaturally growing around the world, like immediately. Boom, 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 boom. Countries started opening up. We started establishing churches everywhere where we couldn't do that before because financial. The women, the UWIM, United Women in Ministry, they were the sole fundraisers for the world vision, world evangelism, they called it. They would just do it. Just the women. Come on, give the women a hand, guys. And what would be sad, fellas, is that the women are still the only ones. If you ain't the United We Can member, shame on you, brother. Don't you have the finance? Don't you have money in your pocket? Don't you have a job? You got to give United We Can. The women have been giving it forever. Way before United We Can came along, they were doing world evangelism. I was telling my wife, what are you guys doing? We're doing world evangelism. Like, what? Really? Huh? It simply said, put $1 a day. Just set it aside. We had one guy in our church who used to pick up the offering. He said like this. He said, all you got to do is just not eat a Snicker every day. Or a whatever kind of candy bar you have. They're $1. Just $1. $1. And you put that away and you're good. For some of you guys, you could go to like $7 a day because you know you go to Starbucks every day. You could just like fast for 1 year from Starbucks and you become a 7 times greater United We Can member. You've been on the dollars for like 20 years already. You could jump to $7. Just don't go to Starbucks. You know, it's $6.93 every time you go. Get your little stars. So he always has a plan. Second thing that we learn from this is that God always provides. God provided for Israel. He provided for the family, for Joseph's family, for his father, for his brothers. He provided in a very unorthodox way, but he provided. Come on, somebody. See, God will always provide for you. He'll always provide for the need. He will always provide for the vision. He always brings provision for the vision. Come on, somebody. The vision is what? It is simple. Reaching hurting people. Now, that's a basic general topic of the church. It's supposed to be. But unfortunately, that's not what all the church is doing. Unfortunately, the church, a lot of times, is just coming and feed me. I read something this morning. Pastor Titus is such a crazy nut. He's a pastor in Philadelphia. I just love him. He's a really good friend of ours. And when he eats, he always calls for the ushers because he falls out every time he eats. But he was saying, I think he posted something this morning. It said, real early this morning, he said, here he goes up. He says, if you think our church is not deep enough in the Word, then you need to ask yourself the question, do you love your neighbor? If you can't say yes, just be quiet and sit under the teaching. It's just simple. The Word of God is simple, but it can be deep as well. And here, we know that the vision that God has given us is more than just reaching hurting people. We have a specific anointing that God has given the ministry of Victory Outreach. Listen, we have a specific anointing. It doesn't mean we're the only ones. It doesn't mean they're the best ones. It means that we have a specific anointing. Just like those of you that know how to draw, man, you're blessed, man. I draw, but you're blessed when you can draw because not everybody can draw. Come on, somebody. You know, those of you that have good handwriting, thank God for you. Because the ones that don't, man, they're like, you know, they should have been doctors. Because they don't know how to. You have a gift. You got to use the gift of what God gives you. And God has given us anointing to reach the drug addict, the gang member, the prostitute, the messed up from the neck up kind of person, man, the tore up from the floor up kind of person around the inner cities of the world, right here in Albuquerque, all over the place. Listen, God's given us an anointing to do that. It's not just a calling. It's a special anointing to do it. And when we walk in that anointing, results happen because of it. Results happen. That's why many of the people that have been reached in this church were at one time addicted and afflicted and now are great leaders for God's glory and God's honor. Come on, somebody. So we always, that's our vision. Our vision is simple, man. It's not rocket science. It's not real. I mean, you can use Hebrew and you can use Greek and you can break it down like that, but it's real simple, man. Get up out of that chair and reach somebody. Once you reach them, then you teach them. Once you teach them, you nurture them. And once you nurture them, release them. Simple. See, human beings have a tendency to hold on to things. We like to maintain control, power over our lives, our relationships, our work, our reputations, our possessions, our money, just about everything else we have. We have a hard time embracing our vulnerability and our humanity of letting go and saying, listen, I could just let go of a dollar a day. You know that if we were united, we can, if I minded more here, and that's on me, it's on my staff, that we speak about it, but this morning is United We Can Day, and I know I'm learning from this more and more every day. There's one more thing that we learn here from this story here today, and that's God always requires a process for us. No matter what comes our way, we know that God has a plan and always executes that plan according to his purpose. Joseph had to go through a purpose. My God, they threw his own brothers, threw him in a pit and called him dead, went home to their dad and said, an animal, here's his jacket, there's blood on there, an animal killed your son. Man, how much more pain can somebody have? I mean, if he was dead, he wouldn't know, but he was alive and he knew. So he was walking in pain that whole time. He says, my own brothers hate me. My own brothers can't stand me. They hate my guts, man. They threw me, they sold me into slavery. And then he ends up in Potiphar's house, and everything looks kind of good because he's pretty good at what he does, and he raises up. But then old Potiphar's wife starts after him. And then, the story, he goes to prison, like we talked about, and then he's in prison there with a bunch of people that deserve to be in prison. And really, he don't deserve to be in prison. He hasn't done nothing to be in prison for. But there he is, and he's going through a process, and he's thinking, like, God, how is this that you're going to use me? How in the world are you letting me go through all this? And you might be sitting here this morning saying, man, why am I going through what I'm going through? But I got news for you. The process that you're going through is just a stepping stone to what God is about to do in your life. You've got to trust him for it through the process. Amen? Lastly, as I lead, if I can get the keyboards on the music, the Lord has a word before you leave here today. You see, God never challenges us to stretch or expand without a promise attached to it. Come on, somebody. He's saying, now stretch, Victory Outreach, because I'm getting ready to really expand. We go to World Conference, and you're going to see expansion. You're going to see enlargement, and then you're going to see after conference is going to, like, it's going to be on like 7 times greater harvest around the world. It's going to be phenomenal. Tell your neighbor, give me some room. I'm about to stretch. Here in Isaiah chapter 2, 54, verse 2, he says, enlarge the place of your tent. He says, stretch your tent. Stretch it. Don't just enlarge it, stretch it. See, God is telling you, you will not be disgraced. I know it's, you feel disgraced. The enemy is trying to convince you that you're disgraced, but you're not disgraced. You're in the process. Come on, somebody. You will spread out. Everything you've ever dreamed about, God's getting ready to give to you, but you gotta let your process finish. You'll become everything he's promised to you. This is a special word for somebody. You're going to become everything God ever promised you would be. You have to stretch your curtains. You have to stretch your tent because of what the Lord wants to do in your life. So don't look at what you are right now. See the change by faith. As long as you sit in comfort, though, you won't stretch. You got to get out of comfort. You got to get out of that comfort chair, and you've got to stretch. Don't allow the devil to rock you to sleep ever again. The Lord is telling you, it doesn't matter what your condition is presently. I am getting ready to stretch you, and when I stretch you, along comes when you decide and you agree to stretch for me. The Lord says, I attach a promise of enlargement and expansion just for you. Come on, somebody. You need to start ignoring what people have called you. Every tag that people have called you, and you know in your heart, you feel it in your heart, instead of getting hurt, get happy, saying, ooh, that means I'm in the process. Imagine how Joseph was. There he was. He's, oh, Joseph, man, he's this, and he's just a slave now. He ain't no king. He ain't no prince. He ain't no leader, but he's just in the house of Potiphar. But, oh, God was just taking him through the process. Why? Because God had a plan, and when that plan was fulfilled, the Bible says that when Pharaoh put the ring on his finger, that he said, you're second in command to none other. There is nobody else in this whole kingdom that answers. They have to answer to you. First to me and then to you. You take charge. Go ahead and take care of the grain. Go ahead and tax everybody. Go ahead and take care of everything. You're in charge, man, of everything. So when his brothers came, everything they had said evil against their brother, everything they said, when they came, they didn't even recognize him because he had blotted him out of their mind. He looked different. The Egyptians dressed different. They had a different style, different culture. They didn't even recognize him, but he recognized them. And he had that little process. He goes, I had to do a little, he had to mess with them a little bit. He made them seem like they were, he made it seem like they had stolen from him. When they came to buy grain, they called him in. They said, do you have any other brothers? He said, yeah, we got one other brother. Bring him. They brought him. He played a little bit with them. Just a little bit. But to end the story, I love what happens. He brings them together. At that very moment, he had to make a choice. In this very moment here today, you have to make a choice. Are you about expansion or destruction? Are you about making things better or making things worse? Because everything that's happened to you up to this point, everybody that's ever hurt you up to this point, you have to make a choice to release that, or you're going to drag that into your future, and your future has no room for it. See, Joseph had to make a... The Bible says that he went into the other room and wept bitterly. And then he came out of that room, and he got on his brothers, and the Bible says that he told them who he was, and he fell on their necks, and they wept together. He forgave them in that very moment. And he says, I don't know. He goes, I know you guys meant harm, and I've been a hurt little puppy all these years. But whatever happened, the process has brought us to where we're at, and I'm in the position now to secure the future for our father's legacy. I am put in a position right now through my sacrifice, through the sacrifice of many. You see, they say that Joseph was a type of Jesus Christ, a type like a messianic kind of anointing on him, because he could have, in that moment, he could have very easily had them put to death. He could have hung them. He could have killed them. But in that moment, he chose to forgive. And then in that moment, as he forgave, then what happened? His father came. Everybody came. They were secured for the future. The promise stayed alive. I'm here to declare to you this morning. I don't know what happened at this altar for many of you. Some of you got healed physically, emotionally, in your mind, in your heart, different things. But I know something happened at this altar today that's going to alter your future. It's going to alter your future. Joseph, something happened to Joseph. And in that moment, he made a decision. No more destruction, and I'm not carrying no destructive spirit in my future. Everything in my future is going to be the joy of the Lord. Everything in my future is going to be for enlargement. I've stretched, not just for a reason. I've stretched on purpose to see the promise. Amen? Now, those who had their dreams killed off by the enemy, those dreams are not dead. God has plans for you. God said to Abraham, I'll make you a great nation. And God did it. No matter what your condition's in, he's going to make you a great nation. He's not finished with you. If you're down on the ground, get back up. It's time to stretch one more time. Before you see that, you're going to have to let God stretch you on the inside. Amen. In the process of stretching a tent, when you stretch out, now we have tents, and we stretch them to get them in the right tightness, and they all hold together. But in that process, you got to spend a lot of time stretching. Some of you have been stretching a while now. And I love the finished product when it's all done, but it's tough during the process. It's been tough to get a building. I'm telling you, being 9 years without having your own building is a very long time. Actually, longer than that, but it's a long time as far as being on the road. And I think about Noah, all the 100 years that he built that boat. Took him. He had to cut all the wood. He had to put it all together. I think about Abraham, how he had to leave his country. I think about Joseph, how he had to go through all the process we talked about. I think of Jesus, the way he had to go, the process of his life. He had to get whipped and torn, and his body was torn. It's not just whipped, but torn for us, bled for us. Maybe you need to change your perspective this morning of how God expands you, and say, Lord, I do not want to burst when you pour into me. This morning, this is what I want to do. I believe God's spoken to us this morning tremendously. Not all the time can we always say that. We say, well, I know that God, the word of God's always doesn't return void. But I believe there's a prophetic happen here this morning. I believe the anointing, seven times greater anointing here for healing, for all the things we talked about earlier. But the one thing that could be holding us back from becoming that base church, becoming that ministry that really helps this ministry globally fuel it forward. And that is that at one time, this church was one of the strongest United We Can giving churches. And I'm going to be honest with you. We have dipped down to lows I've never seen before. We have a lot of great United We Can members. They're solid 20 years, 15 years. Man, no. I mean, they give every month. Now, me and my wife, we give automatically. We give, it's called direct debit. That's how we give. And this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to have our ushers take their place. This is not something for our church. This is part of the United We Can plan to fuel the international vision of Victory Outreach. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I am not a United We Can member, but I would like to be. Listen, $7 a week is nothing to start off with. Now, you can jump yourself even to more. If you're already there. In fact, there are some of you that you should have become. You can afford to be $100 a month easy, or $200 a month easy. But you're not doing it for whatever reason. Maybe nobody's asked you. Maybe you haven't heard them when they come up and ask. And are United We Can coordinators? I don't know. But I'm going to ask those of you this morning that say, you know what, Pastor, I've been a dollar a day too long. I need to up it. And those of you that say, Pastor, I've been coming to church for a while. I have never signed up for United We Can for whatever reason. I just haven't. Or maybe you haven't been able to afford it. But today you say, you know what? How can I not afford to become a United We Can member? So if you're here and say, Pastor, I want to become a brand new United We Can member. Give a dollar a day, $30 a month, and see the world won for Jesus. I want you to lift your hand real quick. Come on, lift it. Just lift them and say, come on, I want to be part of that. Even in the home, some of you guys say, you know what, I get that much money a month. I buy sodas with that, but I guess I could stretch. You got to be careful because you'll get the other kind of global vision if you drink too many sodas. Get the real global vision. Amen? Anyway, God provides. So anybody else says, you know what, I want to become a United We Can member. Or maybe you used to be a United We Can member. It's time to rededicate. Recommit, man. Start over again, okay? You fell off. You fell off last week, last month, just start over again. Just start over again. Watch God move, amen, in your life. Listen, this is an offering above your tithes. So you know what that means. That means there's a harvest coming from that, amen? There's a tremendous harvest of souls, a tremendous anointing that comes upon you when you give like that. So if you're here, and then also those of you, lastly, those of you who say, I want to be a direct debit. All you got to do is get our staff in the foyer is going to be out there today talking about Road Code Red. Just write down your name and information. They will help you start direct debit immediately. That's what we do. We don't have to even sign. We'll sign one for an extra offering today, but it automatically comes out of our checking account just like that every single month, like clockwork. And I feel good about that. How many of you feel good about when that stuff like that happens? It's paid, it's taken care of, right? So listen, those of you who want to become a direct debit, you can do that today. And then lastly, those of you who say, you know what, Pastor, mine comes out already, or you know what, I'm not ready to become one right now. Well, then you know what I'm going to ask you to do this morning? I'm going to ask you to at least give an offering today to start off with, and you think about it for the next couple of weeks or week, and you want, ask God. God, can you said in your word that you provide seed to the sower. And Pastor said earlier that there's provision for the vision. Then provide for me and I will become. Sometimes you have to ask God like that. Provide for me and I will become. Other times God says, I want you just to step out in faith and then I'll provide. Come on, somebody. So some of you got to step out in faith today and just ask God to become the provider of your seed for United We Can. How many of you are excited about a seven times greater harvest? A seven times greater anointing? Listen, we've been praying for your seed offerings, man. You know the Easter seed, the Easter resurrection seed? Every morning I've been laying hands on those cards there in the house. I've just been laying hands on them. Oh, some of you are about to get your miracle. Some of you have already got your miracle, but we haven't heard about it. Please tell us about it. But some of you are getting ready, man. Amen? I've been praying over that thing. I have been praying over that. I get calls all the time. Pastor, you should see what God's doing. Man, God's blessing me. I know it was that resurrection seed that I sowed. Listen, United We Can is a seed that we plant every month, every week. It's just a simple dollar a day, and then we move up from there. Some of you can get to $50, $100, $200. Listen, some of you, my God may be in the position to go $500 a month. I don't know. But I'll tell you right now, no gift is too much. Amen? No gift to see souls saved around the world is too much. Amen? So this is what I want to do. I want you to take that United We Can. Now, if you don't, if you say, I've already given, but I want to give a special offering, get an envelope right now. I'm going to ask them to sing this song real quick, just a couple of bars. And just get an envelope real quick, fill it out. I'll give you time to fill it out. I want you to fill it out and say, you know what? I want to give a special offering to United We Can this morning. I want to reach the world for Jesus. Say